now that we have said so much, I'd like to say this. As you know, the floors are hardwood, they're very resonant. You cannot do a great deal about this, but I would like to caution you about the sound. Try to be as quiet as you can.
Was more simply than a divine hero.
purposes. First, in order to die for our sins. And the second, and this is what non-Catholics generally do not understand or will not believe. Jesus came to establish the Church, the Catholic Church, so that any representation of Christ, whether it be in literature or entertainment, any representation of Christ that does not establish him as being the founder of the Catholic Church is heretical and therefore unacceptable to us. You cannot turn a page in the scriptures in which we cannot see that Jesus built the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the Catholic Church. They are identical, and he came in order to establish it. You surely know, my dear people, that Jesus would not have been a threat to anyone if he had only been an individual, either divine or human, who simply was a man of great charity and who used his supernatural power to work acts of kindness. Why should anyone complain of that? The reason why Jesus was not acceptable to the Jews, or is not to this day to many, is that he established a church and said that if you will be saved, you must be a member of that church. Jesus was therefore not only kindly, he was very authoritarian. Jesus was a king who established a kingdom, and he said he was moving my way because my Father has put all things into my hands. I do not believe that in this program that you will see, if you desire to this evening, I will say it's very touching, very dramatic, and very effective. I do not believe that in this show you will see that Jesus' main concern was not with educating the vast majority of the populace. His main concern, as far as his teaching was concerned, was to teach the twelve apostles. Because it was they who were going to be the pillars of the church, and it was they who were going to rule those who believed in the church. Secondly, sometimes when I say secondly, people say, secondly? Me, I know. Or just secondly. Although for your consolation, there are only two parts of what I have to say. The question might arise in your minds, why is that certain individuals object to what we believe about our Lord? There are always two avenues of attack on Jesus, and they can be categorized that way. Either they attack the mystery of the incarnation, that Jesus is God incarnate, or they attack the question of whether he rose from the dead. I want to discuss with you the second today, for obvious reasons. You probably have not listened to all the things that Jesus' enemies say as explanation for the report that he goes from the dead. You would be surprised at the long list of hypotheses which have been put forward, what happens to Jesus instead of the resurrection of his sin. I'm not going to give all of them to you. For instance, there's the idea that Joseph of Arimathea's wife, when he got home late Friday, complained about what he had done, that he had put the body of Jesus in their family tomb. And he insisted that, or rather she insisted that, he removed me. Yes, they actually tell people that, and people believe that. Anything to believe. There are some who have said, not have sense enough to kill a man. And you said they're not serious. They're not serious about what they say, but they're serious about what they mean for people to believe. And what they mean for people to believe is that Jesus did not lie. I'm not going to give you a complete list of these various propositions. But always there are these questions that have to be answered, and none of these questions can be answered by those who fail or refuse to believe that Jesus rose. One of the main questions is, what ever happened to the body if he did not rise? It had to be somewhere. And if it was taken off by the apostles, the further question is, why did they do that? Unless it were to abuse it, because they were the ones most to call it. They were the ones who had given up everything, and now they found out that he was nothing. He was a complete impostor. So why would the apostles have been interested in sacred body of Christ? There are some who have said that the gardener took it. I do not think it. There are some who say the gardener took it. And the obvious question is, what did he do with it? And did the Mother of God stand by to let her son's body be taken away somewhere? There is also the idea that the women came and it was so dark they went to the lone tomb. And we are to believe that literally hundreds of thousands of people died martyrs' deaths because the women could not wait till the sun came up by the right tomb. And of course everyone knows there were soldiers standing around all the tombs, so you couldn't tell about that. And then there's the question as to why is it that they never venerated any tomb? For years, nobody seems to have had any interest in which tomb it was. Where his body was buried, where his body finally was buried. It was bound to have been buried somewhere. And that would have been the tomb where men. And then there is the question of why anyone would say that Jesus rose. What purpose would there be in that? And we see that the apostles, who later said that he did rise, were so afraid of being identified with him, even in his death, or even before he died. What caused them to be all of a sudden courageous enough to say such an outlandish thing that Jesus was? Where did they get this newfound courage? And how would anyone screw up the courage to die for such an impostor? What would have been gained by that? And the question that we would ask those who oppose our belief, as obvious as all these have been, is why does it bother certain people that we are so close? Why does it annoy them that we believe Jesus rose? And if he did not, what is it to them? So we are ridiculous. Why do they have to produce things to prove that he did not truly rise? Why must they continue 2,000 years afterward to try to prove how foolish the idea is? The obvious reason is that they are not so certain. And if they are not so certain, that means that they are afraid that what he said is true. And what he said is that, and surely as I will rise, going to judge everyone on the basis of what he said, so that there is room and there is need for them to be concerned. And if they cannot prove to themselves, they want to prove to us that we are following him in. Because it is a frightening prospect to believe that Jesus did not rise when he said, I will come and I will judge every man. And every man will be for all eternity according to my judgment. And all these things are said, my dear people, in order to insist to you that not only do we believe this mystery, but we must believe everything that he said, and we must take everything he said to heart, and we must fear his judgment, as we must love his truth, and we must espouse all that he is. It is not sufficient that we be enamored of him, or that we be intrigued by him, or that we find him a rather heroic person. It is not sufficient that we find him captivating. We must give ourselves to him totally. He must dominate us. We must have his flesh for our food. His very life must be our life. All he wishes must be our command. His very eternity is our hope. In the name of the Father.